Good morning. I wondered this morning if I might start with a description of the garden at my house. It isn't the best garden in the world, probably because I don't have the time or the inclination to do anything about it, to be honest, but it did look quite lovely when I left this morning in the sunshine. It does need a lot of work done to it. There are weeds, the grass needs cut. But if you look beyond that, you can see that there is beauty. There is the rose, which has beautiful flowers of a pinky orange hue. And there is the geraniums, which I managed to plant, which have this red or pink colour to them. And they are beautiful. There is the sedum, which is growing there. And it's green at the moment, but it's about to turn a nice red for the autumn. Are you getting some sort of picture of my garden? I know my attempts at description are fairly weak. I'm not a poet. And so I'm going to turn to the master of poetry, which we heard from this morning in the Bible from the book of the Song of Solomon. This is a book of poetry. It is a collection of love poems which take us through a story of love between two people. But it also describes a garden in the first reading that we heard. A garden which is a place of beauty, a place of potential. The poet describes for us in detail what the garden contains and invites us to use our senses as we imagine it. See the colours of the flowers. Hear the song of the turtle doves. Smell the fragrance of the fig trees in blossom. Feel the warmth of the sun as winter is now past. In this garden, all is well. Beauty abounds. There is so much promise. We might be in the middle of summer in Scotland, although it's sometimes hard to tell. But in our poem this morning, it is springtime. And with that spring, there is also hope. There is another reason, of course, why this garden portrayed in the Song of Solomon is a joyful, beautiful place of promise. And that reason is because of the presence of the beloved, who we're told just in the verses before the reading we had, has come bounding across the hills to the woman like a young stag. And she waits for him in the garden. The beauty and fertility found in the garden are matched or even surpassed by that displayed by the lover and the beloved. What we find here in this book, Song of Solomon, in the Bible, is poetry which celebrates human love first and foremost. And in particular, it celebrates romantic sexual relationships between two people. We hear of the desire two people have for one another. We hear of the excitement of the "be still my beating heart" moment. The presence of this book within our scriptures, which some might find surprising, tells us that passionate sexual relationships, those particular to couples, are part of God's good creation. God rejoices in these relationships. And we are right to celebrate them, as we do in particular at weddings. Now here in the Abbey we have quite a few weddings, and we had one yesterday afternoon when two people came together to make their vows to each other in the presence of God and in the presence of their family and friends. And it is a time of celebration, an emotional time, and it's a time when we recognise that this is a gift from God. In our second reading, which also comes from the Song of Solomon, and it comes from the end part of the book, it's a poem from the time when the lovers have come together and their relationship has been cemented. And we find again beautiful words describing a lifelong love, a committed love, which is strong as death. A love which the two people who come together in marriage to each other hope to have. The poems in the Song of Solomon describe the perfect garden and they describe the perfect relationship, even though the couples have difficulties, and if you read the whole of the book, you can see that that happens. Even though there are difficulties, they remain true to one another. And even though death will eventually come, their love will continue, for love is stronger than death. This is all very good, you might say to me, but how many of us find this sort of love? And how many of us, if we find it, manage to maintain it? With the best will in the world, half of the people who commit to marriage will end up separated or divorced. Relationships once beautiful become worn, tarnished, broken. And there is much pain in these words. We live in the real world. We don't live in some perfect place. And even in our privileged society, where there is plenty, when we can go to the supermarkets and the choice of what is available can overwhelm us, there are people who are hungry, even here in our town. And there are hearts which are broken, and there are dreams which are dashed. Where do we turn to then for help in understanding this? Well, there is another description of a garden in the Bible, and it's one that you will know most likely. There is the Garden of Eden, a place created by God where everything was good. Life was good. God planted this garden. He put all the trees in the garden and trees which provided the fruit to eat. He also put there every type of animal and bird. It compares with the garden described in the Song of Solomon. However, even in all of this beauty and plenty, there was a problem. For God had placed the man there, but the man was lonely. He needed a companion, and none of these animals or birds were any use for that. He needed someone like the lover described in the Song of Solomon. So God made woman and gave her to the man. In his joy at receiving her, he described her as bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Here we find another picture of intimacy, relationship, togetherness. And yet, even in this perfect world, it was to go wrong. The couple were to disobey God. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result, they were cast out of the garden and curses were placed upon them. The man would now have to work hard for there to be any reward from the soil. The days of plenty were gone. The woman's desire would be for her husband, but he would rule over her. The loving, mutual, equal relationship which was made in the beginning was now gone. For some today, this is a more accurate picture of relationship and more accurate picture of life as it is. And for some, there might only look as if there is trouble ahead, as far as we can see. This sad story of the Garden of Eden needs redeeming. Where is the happy ending to our love story here? There is a need for a redeemer, for someone to step in, for a saviour. Of course, this is where the gospel comes in. The good news that we are not left in this unhappy state. Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to save us, showing in his life that all people are valued for who they are, and showing us in his death and resurrection that love is strong as death. Love is stronger than death, for we have seen in him love defeat death. As Jesus died on that cross, and as he rose again, conquering death once and for all. Jesus Christ restores our relationship with God, and in doing so, he restores our relationship with one another. Whether that is within marriage or within friendship, family, or church family. The first picture of the garden then, the one we found in the Song of Solomon, is the right picture. It is how God made the world to be. As the theologian Phyllis Trible puts it beautifully, this poem in Song of Solomon recovers the love that is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It redeems a love song gone awry. The Song of Solomon tells us that we are not destined to hardship and separation from God. Women are not destined to be ruled over by their husbands or their fathers. There is another way, and it's the way that Jesus Christ showed us. It is the way of love. The woman in the Song of Solomon is portrayed as equal to the man, just as she was in the Garden of Eden. She is not ruled over by him. Her desire is for him, yes, but his desire is for her also. He comes galloping over the hills to be with her like a young stag. He calls her to come away with him. He does not dominate her. She does not dominate him. This way of love is bound up in Christ, in whom all are equal, in whom there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. In Christ we are all one. This is the better way. I wonder then, do we live as if this were true? Do we treat others as equals? Do we believe that God wants the best for us? Do we believe that God wants the best for the person sitting across from us? Do we believe that God wants the best for the migrant at Calais, for the attacker on the train to Paris? This book, Song of Solomon, is a book about human love, first and foremost, that's what I said. But it is also a book about God's love. Human love is not perfect, we know that. That is why we need to hear about God's love. God is the lover and we are the beloved. God comes seeking us, calls us to him, loves us with a love which is stronger than death, calls us to arise, invites us to a time of singing and rejoicing, beckons us to walk with him in the garden. Here he comes, bounding over the hills like a young stag, calling for us to come away with him. Come away. Amen.